Hallelujah. Do you give him praise for everything in your life? As we continue to praise him, we open the windows of heaven so he can touch our hearts. You can be seated. It's my privilege tonight to introduce to you Dr. Pat Francis. She's a global transformation leader. She's a pastor. She's an author. She's a coach. She's an entrepreneur. Like, just using the gifts that God has given her. She travels the world sharing the gospel. And as she does, people's lives are transformed by the power of Jesus. She helps people to discover their full potential and allows them to be encouraged to achieve greatness. She's innovative and dynamic in the programs she runs. Many of the programs are helping at-risk children and youth right now so that they have lives, finding solutions for their families so they can all live better. It's an honor and a privilege for me to call her my mentor and my friend and to be able to introduce her to you. I know many of you know her well, but she has a strong presence of God in her. So I encourage you to open your hearts. Be ready to receive from God because he has something special for you tonight. He's a good God and he's brought her in our midst so we can receive. So won't you stand up one more time and join me as we welcome Dr. Pat Francis.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wow. I want to thank Pastor Sue. Wow. Tonight is a wow. And you have been wowing for so many years. And God has kept it alive. And of course, COVID came. And now we start wowing again. Let's hear it for this great wow of a woman. Pastor Jill is my friend and sister, depends on what we're talking about. Pastor Randy is my pastor. I always call him my pastor. So I'm home when I'm here, and you are my family, whether you know it or not. This is my home. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, I worship you. I worship you. Hallelujah. Waymaker, miracle worker,
promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God,
that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are.
You are. Turning lives around, I worship you, I worship you. You are He, mending every heart, I worship you, I worship you.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, that is who you are.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop.
You never stop working.
Yeah, hey.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop.
Waymaker.
Waymaker. Miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. That is who you are. Waymaker. Miracle worker. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness,
my God, that is who you are. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. I brought a book tonight that I really want you to have. You know, for many years, God has been taking me on a glory path, understanding the kingdom and the glory. He says the kingdom of Christ must be preached in all nations, and then He will come. And then He gave a promise that the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. The angels are declaring it continuously. The whole earth is filled with His glory. And God told me to study the glory so that I can believe for the glory manifesting in my life. And so this book, Igniting the Hope and Glory Within, it's a book that study what is glory, how can it be ignited, and how can we walk in miracles, signs, and wonders as a normal part of our lives. I believe that God really needs His church now. Canada is at risk. About 10 years ago, there were 70% Canadians. Now there are only 50% Canadians. The darkness is invading, and the new plague is mental illness. And of course, the government does not have the cure. So what they are suggesting is more cannabis, more opiates and euthanasia. If you can't handle it, we'll give you a free needle to kill yourself. People of God, you are the solution. The church is the solution. And God is going to use us to show that he is the only savior of this world. He is the only savior of Canada. The government cannot save Canada. We complain about them, but they cannot, because they're broken themselves. The system is broken. But you and I, we carry the most powerful, almighty Jesus Christ in us. When we walk into a room, Jesus came. When we go into the hospital, Jesus is here. And all things are possible through him. Paul wasn't boasting when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. It wasn't a boasting. It was a man who recognized that this thing works. Here I am, someone who used to persecute the church. And here I am now, changing nation, transforming nation. And he says, I wish everybody will know about the riches of his glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. People needs you. Your family needs you. They need a miracle, and they have to come to you. Thank God for all the great evangelists, but they're not where you work. They're not in your family. You are there, and you are the witness of Christ. He loves you. He needs you. And we want to challenge ourselves that we will grow in ever-increasing glory. That is Paul's prayer for the church, that we would grow in ever-increasing glory. Not to just keep it in our bellies, but to manifest to a world that needs hope. Hope is the most expensive commodity right now. Because without hope, you feel like you want to die. And we have to share this great gift that we have, the hope and glory of Christ. So this book is for the dancing grandma. Where is she? Can you take it? Where is she? Take it to her, please. Unbelievable. I see you getting down, and she is getting down like this. And I said, it's a good thing I am not up here, because I don't want you to embarrass me. Wow, really? May I ask how old you are? You're 48 going on 84. I hear you. Oh, my Lord. Let's clap unto the young, mature lady. Clap again unto the young, mature. I don't say old, I say mature. Wow. Thank you, thank you. Let's look at Colossians 1:26. We're going to do a study tonight of one of the most powerful women in the Bible. She was born a slave, and yet she is one of the most powerful women. And if God can use a slave, then God can use you, and God can use me. And Colossians 1:26 to 27, it says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages, from generations, is now revealed to the saints. God has kept that for us. To them, God has made known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The riches of this is amazing. And when we see what God did through Jochebed, Moses' mother, we realize, God, why not me? And I want us to volunteer tonight that God can use us to do great things and even be a part of the team that will save Canada for Jesus Christ. And so when we look in Mark 9:23, there was a man who had a son that was demonized, and the disciples tried to heal him, and they couldn't. And when Jesus came towards this man, he says, if you can you heal my son? And in Mark 9:23, Jesus says, if you can, you're asking me if I can. Everything is possible for him who believes. It's not about me. There's no bankruptcy in heaven for power. There's no bankruptcy in heaven for healing. It's not a matter what God can do. He can do all things. But what do you believe for? Tonight, we are celebrating. We have danced ballet. We have danced, what do you call this one again? Belly dancing in the church of God. The wild women are belly dancing. And then the older lady, the matured lady, looked like she was the best belly dancer. And I'm going, what is happening here? I mean, we have had fun. But now, let's believe for a miracle. You got so many gifts tonight. And now God wants to give us a gift of miracle tonight. Let's believe that all things are possible tonight. Say that with me. All things are possible tonight. Moses, Elijah, David, Deborah, Sarah, Rahab, were all witnesses of the great I Am. Through him and by him, they manifested such great glory. Great stories of what Moses did. Great story of what Elijah did. They manifested I Am. God said to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. That's who I am. And Moses would manifest the glory of God. He stepped into the water. It divided. The sun was there by day. The moon was there by night. The fire by night. And all that was happening. And Pharaoh finally had to bow to the Most High God through an ordinary man called Moses. Moses was a murderer. He was a fugitive. And yet God found him and that he was ready to be a part of a miracle. Rahab was a prostitute. And yet God saw that she had faith. And if he worked with her, she would help to save the Jews. I want God to see faith in our hearts tonight. And I want us to ignite the hope that is already in us. Colossians says the hope and glory of Christ is in us. And so we have to ignite it tonight. And that's what we're going to talk about. God manifested glory through victorious battles, miracles, signs, wonders. Men and women of God, Deborah, Sarah, Rahab, even Mary, God showed that he was the great I Am. And then the great I Am put on the flesh and became the Son of God. And his name was Jesus. And so now the same God of Moses that did all the powerful, great miracles through that man can now do powerful, great miracles through us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, we are having a Christian counseling course on Wednesday nights now. And one of the ladies that has been suffering for years, she said from a baby, now she's realizing that the doctor said she would die. So a spirit of death attached itself to her from a baby. So she has a lot of diseases that cause pain. And then when we were praying on a Sunday morning, and she got prayer, it spoke into her that the doctor pronounced you dead when you were a baby. And that is why you have recurrent sickness. And so she came on the Wednesday night and she said, Pastor Pat, I got a revelation that, you know, this happened to me as a baby. And that's why I'm always sick. I said, oh, a spirit of death had attached itself to you. But it comes in an anniversary. You get sick, you get okay. You get sick, you get okay. You get sick, you get okay. I call it an anniversary demon. That comes every year or comes every 3 years, but it's sure to come. And I said, did you come to me because you want ministry tonight? And she says, yes. And so after we did the course, of going into the memories and trying to understand what is there that is hidden. And I called her up to give a testimony, and then I said, would you like us to pray now? And we pray, and she fell under the power, and things begin to happen in her. And I said to the people, just about three, we didn't need a crowd, don't hold her down. I just felt led. Sometimes you have to hold the person so that they don't damage themselves or damage you. I said, don't touch her. Leave her. And I just felt it the first time. Let me see how dramatic this demon is going to be tonight. And he threw her down. One time she levitated off the floor. And then I knelt down beside her. And I said, Lisa, look at me. And then I spoke deliverance. She was set free. She stood up. She praised God. And she says, I'm going for surgery tomorrow because of my hip or someplace that with her back. She has serious back problems and they're going to do surgery. And the doctor just said, just by the way, I'm not going to do surgery the way I was. I'm going to do laser surgery. And you're going to be no longer, you're not going to be paralyzed where you can't walk because you did all these back surgeries. I don't know why I'm changing, but I'm just going to do laser surgery. On Sunday morning, she walked into the church without a cane. She is healed. Let's clap unto the Most High. The Most High is higher than anything. He's higher than cancer. He's higher than diabetes. He's higher than any poverty. He's higher. And so the Most High gives us a promise. The great I Am came in the flesh of Mary. He called himself Jesus. And then he gave us a promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In other words, Moses was my witness to Pharaoh as the great I Am I was to him. And Elijah was a witness as the God who answers by fire, etc., etc. Now I am Jesus in the flesh as a man to walk and show you what you can do through me. So he says, you're going to be my witness. Whenever anything turns up, you are there for me. You're standing for me. You're carrying me. The power that Moses had is now in you. The power that Elijah had is now in you. When I prayed against this. I don't know why the spirit of death came up again, but I was ministering at a church, last week, I think Friday, and it came up again. And the person was saying, I've had so many accidents. And she said, once accident, there were five people that died in the van. And so they picked me up to take me to the morgue. And I tried to tell them, I'm not dead, I'm still here. But they couldn't hear me. And they were putting me in the morgue, and I moved my shoulder, and they go, oh, she's not dead. And they pulled me out. I said, sweetheart, recurrent, there was a contract that needs to be broken. You will never experience that again. He whom the Son set free is free indeed. Let's clap unto the Most High. The Most High. And so Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, says, Martha, if you believe, your brother can raise from the dead. Oh, but you don't know because you were late anyway. So he has been there and he stinketh now for 4 days. Martha, stop it. Don't rehearse the negative. I am Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? Because your dead brother needs your faith for him to come alive. Sometimes your family needs your faith for them to be healed, for them to be saved. And in this case, Martha, her dead brother had gone, okay, but she
was the one, if you believe Martha, your brother will live. And she says, I believe. And he says, okay, come with me. And he called Peter, James, and John. Notice that whenever Jesus is doing miracles, he always called the Peter, James, John. I call it a faith cluster. A cluster of people that you really trust. You can't trust it. I mean, he chose to keep Judas with him. Some of the disciples were not believers. You don't want to go to a friend to pray. Pray that I would get married. Pray, believe with me. And they're saying, no, I don't want you to get married. I want to get married before you. You don't know what's in their heart. So you have to, now, you trust. You know who you trust to agree with you. I call it a faith cluster. Peter, James, John. Jairus' daughter. Oh, don't agree with the death. Your daughter will be healed. She will be alive. Come, Peter, James, John. No one else in that room. I don't want any unbeliever in that room. There's something you need to have 100% faith with. And so Jesus knew the ones that he could trust. The ones who he could trust behind his back and in front of his face. And so he brought them and he's looked and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus stood up and he was covered in all of those wrappings. And they say, loose him. Notice the natural works with the supernatural. He raised him, but you had to loose him. Lift up your hands. Say, God, help me to know what I must do when I need to do it. Because God works with us. He works with us. And so Lazarus was raised from the dead because of his sister's faith. Who in your family would you like to raise from the deadness and the ignorance of not serving God or in depression and going through suffering? You can stay here and heal that person. Lift up your hands and just say, God, I believe. God, I believe. So Jesus made us his witness, just like Moses. Just go to him and say, I am. But Moses says, I am what? Just say to him, I am. What is the message? Just tell him that the great I am says, let my people go to worship me. He could kill me. Just do what I say and do what you can do, and I will do what only I can do. Is that okay? And would you believe it? As Moses turned to go, God said, stop. I will make you like God before Pharaoh. He said to you, stop. You will receive my power. And you will be my witness. You will be my ambassador on earth. And Satan will know that you carry me, but you don't feel that you carry me. And so here it is that God says, you will receive power, just like Moses. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, the Holy Spirit of power came upon Moses. And who could look and say, locusts and locusts came. And he could say, water turned to red, and it turned to red. I mean, he spoke, God performed. It was such a partnership. And because of that, God got glory in Egypt. And Pharaoh was forced to lose the slave. God needs to get glory in our day. Because their knees that need to bow and their tongues that need to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Oh, let's clap unto the Lord. I love how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit works together. And whatever happened, it's always to the glory of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is anointing Jesus to do good works and to destroy the works of the devil. And his glory is going to the Father. They work as one without competition. And that's what God is forming now in his church. And so for him to get glory in Canada, the church has got to become the witnesses of Christ. Lift up your hands. Wherever you go, you are the carrier
of Christ. Wherever you go, there's hope. Wherever you go, all things are possible. God is going to exalt himself through you. He's looking for the most unlikely person. Is there a most unlikely person here that if anything happened through you, everybody will know that it must be God? Anybody here? Oh, that's you. So that's you. That's you. Oh, wow. God is finding a lot of you here. He's finding a lot of the most unlikely, the Davids, the Moses, the rejects, the Rahabs. And when he does something, he gets so much glory. And then in Luke 21:27, Jesus talk about a set time, Luke 21:27, when he will come. He says, when you see the earth is getting crazy and nature is getting crazy, Florida is there's another hurricane heading towards Florida, and they haven't gotten over the last one yet. This one, I think, is called Milton. And you know, Canada is burning alive. It's burning up all the time. And before you take out this bushfire, that one, the weather is strange. When it's supposed to be hot, it's cold. When it's supposed, I know something is happening, people. And the Bible says, in Jesus himself talking, he says, at that time, a set time when the earth is confused and darkness is getting greater, you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And in 2008, God told me, look and read that slowly. I am coming with power and great glory. And the words power and great in the Hebrew is kayil. He says, study that word because I want to distinguish my kayil glory, which is in the believers, to the Shekinah glory, which is with you. So the Old Testament, they had Shekinah glory. God is with us. The cloud by day, the fire by night. God is with us. Now, God is in us. The powerful great glory. He says, when you see these things, and look, lift up your head. Stand, your redemption is drawing nigh. You know, we have heard so many times, you know, this is the end times, this is the end times, this is the end time. But I tell you, people, I really have to believe this is the last of the last days. Because every year I said it can't get darker in Canada. It cannot. Unbelievable what is happening. What? Don't tell me. Are you telling me now that children are going to be bathing naked in the community centers and that their parents are not allowed? Are you telling me that drag queens are teaching the children in the school? Unbelievable. It can't get any greater. And then, okay, they're giving more money for euthanasia. Are you telling me that people are being paid to kill themselves? Yes, it's happening. Are you telling me that Canada is the number one nation for euthanasia? For Canada to be number one for that, not number one for prosperity or financial, but for death. It means a stronghold of death has set up an altar in Canada. That's what it means. And we are number one for perversion. What? That means there are some serious altars erected in Canada by the permission of human agents. Jezebel brought in the altars to corrupt the priesthood. And it was spreading like wildfire. And Elijah, God says, Elijah, you're going to have to deal with it. I'm going to give you power. What you say, I will perform. Jezebel has got to respect a man of God. I need a man of God. I beg you, Elijah, I beg you. Go to Ahab and say, it will not rain until I so say so. And he did. And there was famine for 3 years. And Ahab wanted to kill Elijah. He says, that man is putting a curse on the nation. No, but God wanted his knee to bow. And his tongue to confess. He married a pagan woman who controlled him, hypnotized him, and corrupted him. And so Elijah had to go back and say, okay, now it will rain because I say so. Now that should be saying, Ahab, go back to the God of Elijah. The God of Jezebel couldn't bring rain. He's trying to say, hello, let the elevator go to the full top.
But they couldn't get it. He couldn't get it. He was so controlled by the seducing powers of Baal. And so Elijah says, okay then, we're going to have a showdown. I'm going to do drama here. Let's go up to the hill and let's build all the altars. And we're going to have a show to see which God answers by fire. Jezebel, bring all your priests here. And of course, he just had a laugh with them. He come with their calling, beating themselves, cutting themselves. Nothing happened. And he just went and summoned the power of God, the God of Elijah. And fire came down from heaven and burned up everything. And the people know once and for all, there is no God like Jehovah. Let's shout it out right now. There is no God like Jehovah. And Elijah was able to preserve the priesthood because it would have been totally taken over by Jezebel. People of God, he showed that God is greater than any power, any witchcraft power, any kind of power. Our God is greater, and he's going to show it through you, and he's going to show it through you, and he's going to show it to me. There is no God like Jehovah. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's clap unto the Most High. There is a great influencer that says we must live as if today were your last day, and learn as if you were to live forever. And I changed it a little bit and said, live as if today is your last day and pursue the ever-increasing glory of God because you will live forever. Every one of us is going to live forever. Every one of us. And so when we keep saying, oh, this is the last of the last days, but in Matthew 24, verse 42, God, Jesus himself says, keep watch because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. So you live as if today is your last day, and yet you can live and plan and create as if you have 100 more years to go. It doesn't matter. You are ready whenever God is ready for you, and you're not going out empty-handed. That's the whole thing. Let's live knowing this. I believe it is the last of the last days, which means God wants us to be harvest gatherers. The journey and the door of hell is open wide. Billions are going to hell as we speak. We really need to hurry up now with the harvest gathering. We are going to be church builders, and we are going to be glory spreaders. It's time to work, people. This is not the time to sleep. It's time to work. And God wants to ignite the glory in us so that he can get glory. He can get the glory. So God says, keep watch. Live as if today is your last, which means if today is your last, what do you need to do? Do you need to forgive someone? You know, when you begin to look into eternity, I don't know if it's because I get older, but I begin to think, you know what? It doesn't take anything off me to call somebody and forgive them in spite of what they did. Because in eternity, that will work towards my credit. I've started to think differently. What am I doing, and what does it mean in eternity? Because I'm thinking eternity. Live as if today is your last. And live and pursue glory. Pursue more. Do more for Jesus as if you will live forever. Because you will live forever. And that is your reward time. So igniting the hope and glory within. Let's do a story on Jochebed. Exodus 1:22. Pharaoh gave an order to these people and to all his people, says, every boy, baby, that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. You can imagine getting pregnant. And they said that Hebrew women will get pregnant if their husband just look at them.
So they were breeding a lot of babies, babies, babies. And they were upset that they were beating so many babies because they're going to take over. But then can you imagine you're pregnant? You don't have ultrasound. So you don't know if the baby that you're carrying is a boy or a girl. And so when you're doing labor and you're thinking, wow, and then all of a sudden, it's a boy. Immediately, as a mother, the mourning start, the death of your son, the cry of fathers. You know how the Jews can cry loudly? And you can hear a mile, and they're crying, because it was a sadness, it was a darkness upon Egypt, that every boy, baby, is going to be killed. And this woman slave, Jochebed, Moses' mother, she had a boy. And she looked at that child, and she said, not my child. I'm going to break the law, and I'm going to save my son. Now, this is a slave. In Exodus 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child. In other words, as soon as your child is born, you brand him or her. You are a fine boy. You are a fine child. You brand the child before they become who they want to become. You prophesy over them. You declare over them. Because if you don't declare over them, then they're going to be a teacher is going to do that, or a wicked person is going to do that, or another child will call them stupid or something. You are a brilliant boy. And so she declared him a fine child, and she hid him for 3 months. Now notice that I don't know how you're going to hide a baby for 3 months. Because a baby, you can't tell it when not to cry. But this woman was moving into another level of hope. She said, this is a fine child. And she broke the law and hid him for 3 months so they couldn't get to her baby. This woman was a slave. She never went to school. She don't have any degree. But when God saw that this woman was ready to fight for her son and confront Pharaoh if necessary and do whatever it is, he was ready. He says, I find somebody through whom I will show forth my glory. I will prove my almighty power. I will challenge the forces of darkness. And I will partner with this woman to trigger a move of God on earth. When God looks at your heart, what does he see? And so this was a set time for a powerful move of God. People, we are in a set time for a powerful move of God. When darkness moves in a certain tipping point, God has to come down. Because if he doesn't come down, then he's going to lose everybody. So he has to come down just to preserve a harvest. Okay, one family, let me preserve Noah and his sons and wives. I must preserve a family to continue having family on earth. And so he must do that. So he looked upon this woman, and she, her hope was ignited. She said, there is no way. I cannot let my baby die. And so ignited hope birthed faith so that the eyes of the Lord will see her heart, her availability to be used by him to manifest his glory. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord is running to and fro throughout the earth to find the ones whose heart is perfected towards him. In other words, a heart with hope and faith, a heart that believes that he's greater. A heart that is believing. This woman is not worrying. She is faithing. She is hoping. She is using the passion to bring hope. And so Jochebed, what is her hope? Wow, 400 years slavery, it hit me.
My daddy is Abraham. I am a daughter of Abraham. What did God say to Abraham? Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. My son will not die. I pull upon the covenant with Abraham. Her hope wasn't hit and miss. It was targeted. She deserved to be free. Her son deserved to be free. God promised blessing to Abraham. So he will live and not die. I'm going to call on the God of Abraham. Once she did it, her hope was ignited. Faith in God, faith in his word, faith in his manifested glory. And then the faith became greater than their fear of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was mighty, but her God was almighty, the most high God. Pharaoh had a large army, but her God was El Kayil, God of angel armies. Do your part, and God will do only what he can do. Don't sweat over the miracle. Look for the practical and the natural. And that's what this woman was going to do. So Pharaoh's plot was to destroy the Jews, but God found a woman. And so she hid him. God gave her wisdom. Once you make a decision that I'm not going to die of worry, I'm sick of worrying about this problem, I want to change this situation. There's a difference between being a warrior than being an agent of change. She's not going to worry, and she's not going to... Pharaoh, you are mighty, but you're not mighty like my God. You can make your laws all you want, but my son will live. When she did that, then God gave her, number one, the gift of wisdom. Because the gift of wisdom will tell you what to do and how to do it. She hid the child successfully for 3 months. And then he saw that her faith was not moved. She had the faith. So he gave her, number two, power. Power means ability, creativity, strategic, tactical. Power is not just to speak in tongues. Power is the creativity to be a solutionist. So he gave her power. It says when she could hide that child no longer, she got a papyrus basket. This woman was going to be an engineer. Never went to Mohawk College. Never went to Sheridan College. Never had a college degree. And she was smarter than even Pharaoh's set people that were working with him. She was smarter than Pharaoh's daughter. My God, lift up your hands, people, and just declare, no God like Jehovah. Put your hands on your head. Oh God, give me wisdom. Give me power. Hallelujah. Oh, just praise him right now where you are. Open your mouth and just praise him right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. No God like Jehovah. No God like Jehovah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. She reminded me of David in Psalm 57, 8. Write that psalm down. David woke up and found himself homeless. And he grabbed his harp. He says, awake, my glory. Awake, my potential. Awake, my wisdom. Awake, my power. And then he says, awake, lute and harp. And he grabbed the lute and the harp, and he began to worship God until the fear left him, and he had faith to believe in God again. This woman awakened the glory that was her potential as a daughter of Abraham. And so she got a papyrus basket, a small boat. And then she coated it with tar and pitch. What is she doing? She's waterproofing it. The woman was a genius. Amazing. And then she placed the child in it, secured the child with blankets, and then she put the boat and the water among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Why? She was a thinker, man. She was just haba kaba haba kaba. She was a thinker. She says, I'm going to put the baby among the reeds so that the rushing water in the river wouldn't take away the boat. It will just slowly go through. She thought it through because God gave her the gift of wisdom, and she was ready to be practical so that God can do the supernatural. Are you hearing? Because sometimes we're praying, and God is saying, I'm waiting on you. I mean, here it is that Moses prayed. Pharaoh behind you, the Red Sea in front of you, and Moses is there praying. Finally, God came down and said, what are you doing? I'm praying. Get up. If you stay there, pray, you will die. You need to hear that, people. There's a time for the practical. Sometimes you're intercessors and we don't know when to do something except pray. Get up, Moses. Well, what do you do? Stretch, what do you have in your hand? Stretch forth the rod and the water will divide. My God. All of a sudden, Moses got faith and he's telling everybody, be strong in the Lord. And he was encouraging the rest of the people. But let me ask you something, Moses. You're going to step in a sea with your sandals. And you have 2 million people that's going to follow you. They didn't do swimming lessons. They didn't go to spa. They don't know how to tread water. These are slaves. And they're going to follow you. He had to have great faith in the Almighty. People of God, let's grow in faith. Let's grow in faith. Because if you examine yourselves, we don't have that kind of faith. And so he stepped in. He says, God, I'm trusting you. Well, he was going to die anyway. So you know what I'm saying? I might as well die trusting God. But whatever, God saw the faith enough. Stepped into water. Whoosh! Divide on either side. And they walked on dry ground. God is a miracle working God. Do I hear an amen? He's a miracle-working God. And what he did before, he can do again. Oh, prophesy. Declare to the person beside you, believe for your miracle. Come on, Satan. Believe for your miracle. Believe for your miracle. All things are possible. Let's declare it. All things are possible. Declare it again. All things are possible. And so, a mother putting her baby in a river. She doesn't know what's going to happen, but I did what I can do. I made a boat for my son. I put the tar pitch. I put the blankets. I couldn't put food because he couldn't feed himself. You can imagine Moses' mother's heart of pain to see her son go to where she doesn't know, but one thing she did what she could do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you don't do what you can do, God won't do what only he can do. And that's what it is. So intercession is fine, but after you pray, you got to get up and do something. Faith without works is dead. So this woman not only got wisdom from God, power from God, but he gave her strategy. She called Miriam, Moses' sister, in verse 4, stand at a distance and see what's happening to him. So she got a security guard for the baby and the boat. So little Miriam was there, and then the boat was stopped. And maybe the baby cried, and Miriam went and looked and pulled the thing from his face and put it back on. Poor Miriam in this situation. They did what they do, and God did the rest. Kail glory is a force that will make God do the impossible. Here it is. Pharaoh's daughter in Exodus 2, 5, and 6. Pharaoh's daughter went down the Nile to bathe. God has the timing for your miracle. Her attendants were walking along the riverbank, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. So many slaves all over. So she opened it and she saw the baby and he was crying. At the right time, God made the baby cry. And she felt sorry for the baby. And that same baby is going to destroy Pharaoh and set 2 million people free. And God make you love him instantly. No God like Jehovah. Come on, let's say it again. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? God will even make someone love you if they don't like you. Turn to the person beside you and say, you have to love me. I mean, favor. Everybody say favor.
Favor.
Favor is a force. It gets you in the palace to get the best education, the best schooling, to be trained as Pharaoh, to be trained in human dynamics, to be trained in military force. Favor, loved by Pharaoh, loved by everyone, because he was an agent of God to bring deliverance. Favor is looking for you. Favor is looking for you. Favor is a force. It makes people love you. Favor opens doors for you that no man can shut. People will get jealous, but they can't shut the door. If they don't like you, they have to love you. And then they have to come and serve you. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's clap unto the Most High. And then little Miriam, 12-year-old, Exodus 2, verses 7 to 10, his sister, Moses' sister Miriam, asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Ma'am, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you, ma'am?" And Pharaoh's daughter says, "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went back and got her mother. "Mama, mama! Come, Pharaoh's daughter want to interview you for the job." "What is she going to have me do?" "Nurse your baby." And so here it is now. The mother is thinking, wow, this is beyond God being the greatest. I mean, this is something. So she went to the palace with Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." There is no God like Jehovah. Everybody say, there is no God like Jehovah. This slave is the first woman, our first person of Jews to get money and to get a job and to get paid to nurse her own baby. Oh, come on, somebody. This is glory. Say, Kyle glory. Say, Kyle glory. Powerful, great glory of Jesus Christ. And so when the baby grow older, can you imagine Moses' mother with this little baby, teaching him Hebrew, letting him know about Abraham, speaking into his life, prophesying and prophesying and prophesying, so that at a later time when God was ready, God can ignite what is in him already. And the Bible says when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Praise God. God has set you up
to show his glory. Let's clap unto the Most High. Jochebed, a slave, was paid to nurse her own son to deliver 2 million people. This woman is just as famous as her son Moses. She took the chance. She could have been killed, but she made a decision. He's not gonna take my son. You can make a decision about your children tonight. If your children is suffering and struggling, Satan, you cannot have my son. You cannot have my daughter. I didn't suffer for this to give her to you. You cannot do it. You cannot have my grandchildren in the name of Jesus. And you make your declaration and you prophesy. What is your hope? Jesus told me that if I get saved, my household will be saved. That is my promise. For Jochebed, it was the promise to Abraham. For you and I, it's the promise of Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you is the hope of glory. God bless you.